B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Chof Aleph, and we're going to start at the bottom of Daf Chof Amud Beis, the new Mishnah, a new Perek. Says the Mishnah, Hayoshon tachas hamito b'sukkah. If somebody sleeps underneath a bed in the Sukkah, and we know that the main dwelling that one has to do in a Sukkah, Rashi says here, is eating, sleeping, and eating, drinking, and sleeping. On Daf Chof Ches, we'll see some more things that should be done in a Sukkah. But sleeping has to be done inside the sukkah. We assume that inside the sukkah means under the schach. And this person, instead of sleeping on top of the bed under the schach, he's sleeping under the bed. Says the Tanakhama, lo yotzu yidei chivasoi, he's not being yotza, because there's something called an oihel. An oihel means a tent. It means a halachically defined roofing is separating between the schach and himself. So for all intents and purposes, he's not under the schach, he's under a different oihel. He's under the bed. The bed itself is not kosher schach. He's not bin yaitza. Omer Rabbi Yehuda argued and says, Noyagim oyinu sheinu sheinim tachas amita. We used to sleep under the bed. Bifnei Azakenim, and the elders saw that. They didn't stop us. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda maintains that even under the bed, it's okay to one has been yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. And obviously, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the bed in and of itself is not an issue, is not a separation between the schach and the person underneath it. That means the bed does not have the status of oihel, and if it does have a status of oihel, relative to the status of oihel of sukkah, it's insignificant. And we're going to see that in the Gemara. Omer Reb Shimon narrated that Maisa Betovi Avdoi, Sherabin Gamliel, that Rabban Gamliel had a slave called Tovi, Shahoyo Yoshon Tachas Hamita, and he used to sleep under the bed in the sukkah. V'omalhen Rabban Gamliel is Kenim. Rabban Gamliel said to the elders, Re'isem Tovi Avdi, did you see my slave Tovi? Shul Talmud Chochem, he's a very wise person, very knowledgeable. V'yodeh, and he knows Shavodim Peturim in Asukkah. He knows that slaves are exempt of the mitzvah of sukkah, because the slaves are required with the same mitzvahs as women are, and women are not required with the mitzvah of sukkah because it's a mitzvah sasesha as man groma, it's a time restricted mitzvah. Lefikach yoshon utachas amita, and that's why he would sleep under the sukkah. And Reb Shimon said, Ulefi darkeinu, and to be congruent with our ways, that when we would hear Talmidei Chachomim saying things, even just casually, even if they were not intending to teach us anything, we would think very carefully and understand what can we learn. What divrei Torah can we learn from the words of the Chachomim? There's no idle chatter from Chachomim. So Reb Shimon said, when we listen to Rabbi Gamliel, even though Rabbi Gamliel was just saying over casually to the Chachomim, who was talking about his slave, the wisdom of his slave, lemadnu, we learned shayoshon tachas amito lo yotzu yidei chivasoi. We learned from him that somebody who sleeps under the sukkah has not done the mitzvah of sukkah, he's not fulfilled his requirement, and that is congruent with the Tanakhama here, who say that Hayoshon tachas hamita b'sukkah lo yotzi yidei chivasi. Says the Gemara, V'holeka asara. We know that an oihel is always 10 tefachim. This bed is not usually 10 tefachim off the ground. If so, since the airspace between the bed and the floor is less than 10 tefachim, the bed would not be considered an oihel, and if it's not considered an oihel, it would not be an interruption between the person underneath it and the schach. Why then do the chachomim say he was not yotze? Answers the Gemara, and we saw this on the Daf Yud Amud Beis, Tirkum HaShmuel. Shmuel interprets this by mito asara, that when the Mishnah says that if you sleep under a bed, the Tanakhama says you're not yotze, it's only if the height of the bed is off the floor, 10 tefachim, it has the status of an oihel, and now you're under an oihel called bed, and not under a covering called sukkah, and you're not yotze. Continues the Gemara, and now we're moving over to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said there's no issue with sleeping under the bed, let's discuss that. And the Gemara starts with a Mishnah in Maseches Ohalos. Tanan, we learnt in Ohalos, Tanan Hosam. Echod, and over there we're talking about the concept of Oihel, not in Hilchas Sukkah, but in Hilchas Tumah. And we've learnt that if a kezias of a corpse, of a dead person, is found under the same roofing as other utensils and other items and people, anything that is under the same roof as a dead corpse, or even part of a corpse, a kezias min hames, the roofing transmits tumah to everything underneath the roof. and it's choitzet. It separates from the tumah from penetrating and going up. So something on top of the roof would not become tummy. But for that, it needs to have the status of oihel. And for that, we have a Maseches Ohalos. So there in Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, the Mishnah says as follows. Echod choyer, if you have a hollow in a stone, shechoruhu maim, that is the water hollowed out, oishrotzim, or some creeping creatures, hollowed out an area, and a typical oihel has to be a tefach by a tefach by a tefach, a square tefach, the height of a tefach. So if either the water or some creatures hollowed out a stone, oishachlosoi melchas, or with some minerals, ate away at the rock, and now there's a cavity there, there's a hole there. V'chein madvach avonim, or a pile of stones, when somebody innocently piled up some stones, and it's very common that between the stones, at some point, the stones are not exactly on top of each other, there's a gap of a tefach by tefach by tefach in between the stones. V'chein soyer shel koyreis, a stack of beams, also when beams are stacked up, it could very well be that there's a hole there of a cubic tefach. Then ma'il ala tuma. The Tanakhama says that all these areas, providing they're a cubic tefach, they are considered oihel. And if within this space you've got also a kazayis min hames and also something tohir, then that tohir item is going to become tomei. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, no, the common denominator between all these things is kol oihel she'enoi osui bidei odom enoi oihel. In order for something to have a halachically defined and status of oihel, it must be that not only the person made it, it must be the person intended it to be, to that the covering should be as an oihel, as a covering for the area underneath it. So in the case of the water, the creatures and the minerals, a person didn't even make it. In the case of the stones and the beams, the person did pile up the stones and the beams, but he did not intend that gap to be as an oihel. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, ein oihel, it's not considered an oihel. And in the halachas of Tuma, my Talmud Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the source of Rabbi Yehuda? So he learns out, Yalif oihel oihel mimishkon. We learned about this in Maseches Shabbos, that you learn oihel of Tuma from oihel by, and oil by Poraduma, from oihel to the Mishkon. The ksiv hocha, it says in one posuk, Zois ha-toyro odom kiyomus bo-oihel, kol ha-bo-el o-oihel v'chol ha-she-bo-oihel yitmo shivas yomim. Uchsiv hosom, and in another parasha by the Mishkon it says, Vayifris es ho'oihel ala Mishkon, Vayosem es michsas ho'oihel olov milamalo kashetziv Hashem es Moshe. Twice it says oihel, once regarding Tuma and once regarding the Mishkon. Ma'al ha'alon, in the same way as by the Mishkon, the coverings by the Mishkon, bide odom, were positioned there by man and with the intentions of making an oihel. Afkan, so too, Tuma will only be transmitted bide odom if the oihel was made bide odom. Asks the Gemara v'rabbonon, the Tanakam of that Mishnah who say that even an oihel that's not made bide odom is also ma'il ala Tuma. Answers the Gemara, oihel, oihel, ribo, in the parasha of Poraduma, it mentions oihel many times in order to impress on us that any type of oihel, even an oihel that's not made bidei odom, is considered an oihel. Says the Gemara, or asks the Gemara, v'sova Rabbi Yehuda, can it possibly be that Rabbi Yehuda holds, as he says explicitly in that Mishnah in Ohalos, kol oihel she'enoi osui bidei odom, enoi oihel, that an oihel that was not made by man is not considered an oihel? Uruminhu, we're going to ask a contradiction from this, from a Mishnah in Maseches Parah, Perek Gimel. What does it say in Maseches Parah? Chatzeirois hoyu bnuyois b'Yerushalayim. They would build courtyards in Yerushalayim, al gabe ha-sela, on a rock foundation, v'tachteyem chalal, and underneath these courtyards, there would be an empty space of a tefach, in mipnei kever ha-tohoyim, just in case, in the depths, there was a corpse buried that we don't know about, and we know the halacha is that if a corpse is buried and you haven't got a tefach above it, then the tumah penetrates up all the way to the sky and down to the depths. In order to avoid this, they would build these courtyards on stilts of a tefach. And therefore, even if there was tumah deep down, it would not penetrate, it would not reach the people on top of on the courtyards, in the courtyards, in these chatzeris. Umavim noshim ubrois, they would bring pregnant women, to these courtyards. They would give birth in these courtyards. Umegadlois b'neim sham, they would bring up their children there. And the reason they did this was leparah, in order that the children that were going to be engaged in drawing the water that's going to be used to be mixed with the ashes of Parah Aduma should never have even remotely come in contact with even a suffix of Tumas Meis. Because Kever HaTohim is another term used for suffix. We don't know if there's anything buried deep down. So any suffix Tumah is called Kever HaTohim. These courtyards that were built on these stilts of a tefach, then anyone who was there, anyone who was born there, would never have even remotely been able to become Tomei Tumas Meis. And elsewhere in Shas, the Gemara explains why the Chachomim were so stringent here. And Umevim Shvarim, they would bring oxen, Ve'al Gabeim, and on the oxen there would be Dalsois, there would be doors that would be flat on top of the backs of these oxen, Ve'tinoikis, and these young children who were young enough to have ever been able to become Tomei themselves. And the Tinoikis Yeshun al Gabeim would sit on the backs of these oxen, on top of the doors. The Koisois Shel Evan, and they would have these jugs, these cups made of earthenware, of stone, Biodem in their hands, also a type of material that cannot become easily Tomei. And Higiu, and then they would go Leshiloyach, all the way to the Shiloyach stream. Yerdu, then the children would go off these oxen down Letoich HaMayim into the water. Umil Umam would fill up these Koisois. Va'olu, v'yashvulam, then they would go back on and would come back to bring the water back to where the Kohanim would then use it to prepare the Parah Aduma. Rabbi Yossi says, Mimekoimo hayom mashalshel, the children would not even go down from the oxen, rather they would lower, on a string, they would lower these utensils from where they were on top of the doors into the water, umemale, and fill them up mipnei kever hatohim. Because again, if you go off the oxen, maybe you'll be on top of an area where there is some tumah deep down buried, some tumas meis, and which doesn't have a tefach, and the tumah penetrates up and will make the child tomei. And therefore, in order to stay far, far away from even the remotest chance of becoming tomei, Rabbi Yossi says that the children would actually stay on top of these oxen and the doors on top of the oxen. So that's what we saw in a Mishnah in Maseches Parah, V'tanya, and we learned in a Braisa, in Tosefta in Maseches Parah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Lo yhoyu mevi'im dalsois elo shvarim. Rabbi Yehuda says they wouldn't bring the doors, they would only bring the oxen, they would sit on top of the oxen. Asks the Gemara, V'ho shvarim, these oxen, why would they sit on top of the oxen? Let's assume it's because if they're sitting on top of the oxen, then even if there's going to be any tumas hatohoim underneath the ox, because there's a tefach gap between the bottom of the stomach, the belly of the ox, and the ground, that will split up. That will be a separation between the tumah and the child on top of the ox. And it will serve, the ox itself will be an oihel. The Gemara says, you Rabbi Yehuda say, don't bring doors, just bring the oxen. But these oxen themselves, they are doors, they are an oihel that were not made by man. Nobody, when these oxen were created, they were not created in order to serve as a covering for something underneath them. And Rabbi Yehuda says that, kol oihel she'eine osu bidei odom, eino oihel. So the Mishnah in Arloi says that Rabbi Yehuda says that an oihel not made by man with the intentions of being used for an oihel is not considered an oihel. Here we have a Tisefta on the Mishnah in Maseches Parah that tells us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the using the area underneath the ox suffices. There seems to be a contradiction. If you were to use doors, we can understand the doors were placed by people in order to serve as an oihel. But if the Rabbi Yehuda says in the Tisefta here, you don't use doors, you just use the oxen themselves. That's an oil she'einu nasa b'dei adam. Uktani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo hayu mevi'im dalsois elo shvarim. Rabbi Yehuda says they wouldn't use the doors, only the oxen. How do we explain this contradiction? Ki asa Rav Dimi Omer Rabbi Elazar. Rav Dimi said in the name of Rabbi Elazar that moide Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, when do we learn out from Mishkan that an oihel has to be made by man? That's only when it's exactly a tefach cubed. A tefach cubed is a weaker type of oihel. It has to be made with the intentions of being done as an oyel, and we learn that out from Mishkan. However, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that when the oyel is a cubic meloy egroif, which is larger than a tefach, it's the fist of somebody called Ben Avtiach, which is the size of the head of a person. There's a question whether it's the head of a child or the head of an average person, but the head, it's called a meloy egroif, a fist of this person called Ben Avtiach. And if a type of area, an oyel, which is a cubic meloy egroif, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even if it's not made bidei Adam, it can serve as an oyel. And Tanina Mihochi, we actually learned a brisa to this effect. And if you look in the Mishnah in Orlois, it's actually explicit in the Mishnah in Orlois that we learned that Moed Rabbi Yehuda agrees that when do we say that kol oyel she'ein osu bidei Adam einu oyel, only if it's a cubic tefach. But Rabbi Yehuda says if it's a cubic meloy egroif, then it is called an oyel, and therefore b'shkifin, these uprooted boulders, when you've got these big boulders that have got uprooted from a mountainside, and now in the mountainside you have a gap, an oyel, which is larger than a meloy egroif, or b'nekike sloim, or the cracks in the rocks, these cracks are larger than a cubic egroif. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that we would not learn out from Mishkan that it has to be osu bidei Adam. We have other sources to learn that it would be considered an oyel even if it's not osu bidei Adam. That means since there's other sources that say that an oyel does not have to be made bidei Adam, the oyel from Mishkan is only referring to the smallest size oyel, which is a cubic tefach. Only there it has to be made bidei Adam. Asks the Gemara, is that true? Is that how you're understanding Rabbi Yehuda? V'hari, that the reason that you can use the bellies of the oxen as an oyel is because it's more than a cubic meloy egroif. V'hali delis, the doors themselves, had you put them on the oxen, the yesh bo kama egroif, and there it's clearly a cubic, more than a cubic egroif, it's more than a few egroifs size on the width of the door, the height between the door and the floor, there's plenty there. Uktani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yahayu mevi'im daltzos ela shvarim. Rabbi Yehuda says that don't bring doors, which means that for some reason, the meloy egroif doesn't even help here, even for doors, even though the doors were made by man. For some reason, Rabbi Yehuda says this is not called an oyel. If the doors are not called an oyel, then of course the oxen themselves would not be called an oyel. So how can you say the oxen are called an oyel because of meloy egroif? Well, then why does Rabbi Yehuda say don't use the doors? That's how Rashi seems to understand this Gemara, but many Rishonim have an issue understanding this question of the Gemara. But either way, Omar Abaya answers, I'll tell you what Rabbi Yehuda meant. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you could have put doors on top of the oxen. And of course, the doors are wide enough and big enough, and the doors were actually made by man. Of course, the doors would be okay. Rabbi Yehuda just says you don't need the doors because the oxen themselves are enough. Because you have a cubic egroif underneath, you have enough space, the width of the oxen, and the height between the oxen and the ground is more than an egroif, and therefore it's considered an oyel, and that's why it's okay. That's how Abaya explained Rabbi Yehuda. Rava Omar, loy hoyu mevi'im daltzos kol ikar. Rava says that the reason they wouldn't bring the doors is not because we have an issue that it's not considered an oyel. Of course it's considered an oyel. Nonetheless, don't bring the doors. Why? Because the doors are actually going to be a disadvantage to us. Because why do you have the doors there? Just to make sure that the child should sit squarely on top of the oyel and not lean over. Because as soon as he leans over outside, beyond the oyel, then again we have an issue with kever hatohoim. In the event that there's a corpse buried deep down, the tumah will penetrate up and the child will become tummy. And if you just have the oxen, the child will be nervous to move. He'll make sure to stay in the middle of the ox, not to fall off. As soon as you put a platform there, you put a door there, he's going to feel comfortable. He's going to start peeking over the edge. As soon as he starts leaning over the edge, we've lost the effect of bringing the child in this way. Says Rava Omar Lohoyu Mavin Daltus Kol Ika Mipnesha Daita Shaltine Gasalov. The child's mind will be at ease. And then Shemo Yotzi Roisho, he's going to, maybe his head, or Echod Meivorov, or any of his other limbs, he's going to take out, he's going to protrude beyond the oyel, v'yitzman, become Tomei, b'kever tohim, with this Sofik Tumah. Tanu kavasei de Rava. And we actually found a brisa that says, like Rava says, that Rabbi Yehuda oimer lo yehoyu mevi'in daltzis kol ikar. Rabbi Yehuda says they would not put doors on top of the oxen. Why? Mipnei she'daita shel tinei gasa olav shama yoytzi roishoi oyechod mevarov yitma bekever hatohim. Elon says Rabbi Yehuda mevi'im shvarim. They would bring shvarim amitzrim, the wide oxen from Egypt, shekreisoi sehen rechovois, whose bellies, whose stomachs are very wide, vatinoikas yeshun al gabeim, and the children would sit on top of it, vekoisis sheleven biadeim, and they would have the earthenware cups in their hands. Higia l'shiloach, and when they would reach the shiloach stream, yerudu, they would go down. The Buddha holds it like the Tanakama in the Mishnah in Paro, that they would actually go off the oxen once they're in the water. Umil'um, and they would fill up the cups with water, va'olu, and they would go back up onto the oxen, v'yeshulem al-gabem, and sit on top of the oxen, and they would go back and bring the water back to where the Kohanim were waiting for it. So this is so far what we've learned about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that a tefach by tefach by tefach, a cubic tefach, is only considered an oihel if it's made by man, and man intended it to be used as an oihel. And if it's a cubic egroif, then even if it was not made by man, it's considered an oihel. And now we're coming back to our Mishnah. Vare mito, back to the bed. De yesh bo kama egroifim. There's at least a cubic egroif of the width of the bed, the height between the bottom of the bed and the floor. Utnan, nonetheless, we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda oimer, ne'agim oyinu, shoyinu yeshenim tachas hamitah b'fnei hazkenim. We used to, in front of the elders, we would lie under the beds in the sukkah, and we would sleep there. How can you do that? The bed is definitely considered an oil. Had we not learned this Gemara, we would have said that maybe the oil was not made to serve the area underneath it. No one puts a bed there in order to serve as an oil for the area underneath. So it's considered oil, which is not also bide odom, similar to the midvach avonim, to the pile of stones or to the stack of beams. And then we would say that it's not called an oil. But once you say that, if it's kamaloy egra, if it's called an oil, we have an issue here. How could a Yehuda sleep under the sukkah? Answers the Gemara, sha'ani mita hoyer ulegabo asuya. Here it's worse. It's not just that this wasn't made for the area underneath. Here it was actually made to serve exclusively the area on top of the bed. Since it was made exclusively to serve the area on top of the bed, and almost to say to the exclusion of the area underneath it, even though it's a Meloy Egroif, it's not considered an Oihel. Ask the Gemara, Shvarim Namni, let's go back to the oxen. Legabonasuin. These oxen, they're made, so to what were oxen made for? To carry people on top of the ox, not to serve as a roofing for the area underneath the ox. And nonetheless, we said before, by the Mishnah in Parah, that they would use the ox as an oihel from the Tumas HaTohim. Ki also Ravin Omer Belazar, Ravin said in the name of Rebbe Elazar, oxen are different. Shani shvorim hoyelu maginim al horoyim b'chamo b'pnei chamo b'gshom b'pnei gshomim. They were used to using the backs of the oxen also as an oil for the area underneath it. Because the shepherds in the summer, they would put their heads underneath the bellies of the oxen in order to be in the shade. And in the rain, they would be underneath the oxen in order not to get wet. So you see that the backs of the oxen were used not only to serve the what's being done on top of the ox, but also to serve what's underneath the ox. Ihocha, says the Gemara, mitonami, a bed also. It's true that primarily beds are there to be slept on, not under. But the beds also are used sometimes to protect those things underneath it. Hoyelu magino ala min olim v'sandalim shetachteo. They protect the shoes and the sandals. And why exactly shoes and sandals are chosen is something that Rashi discusses here. But the shoes and sandals were typically kept underneath the bed. So you see a bed is serving even the area underneath it. And then the question comes back. So it is considered an oil. If it's considered an oil, how could you be able to sleep underneath it? Ela Omar, Rava explained, Shani Shvarim, the difference between beds and oxen is that Hoyel Vasuyin Lahogin al Bnei Me'ayim Shelahem. Rava said it's not because of what was done under the ox. That alone wouldn't suffice. But the back of the ox itself was created with the intentions of protecting everything that's inside the belly of the ox. All the intestines of the ox are being protected by the top of the back of the ox, by the spine and everything around it on top of the intestines. And therefore, it's considered an oihel, not because of something you would do underneath the ox. And therefore, with the ox is called an oihel. A bed is not considered an oihel. Shenema, where do we see that the purpose of the skeleton of an ox would be used to serve, to protect the intestines inside the ox? Because we find in a similar context, as it happens, it's a pasuk in Iyov talking about man, but the same applies to an ox, that it says in the pasuk, Oiru boso talbisheni, you have clothed me with skin and flesh, ubatzomis vegidin, and with bones and sinews, tesoichecheni, you have sheltered me. So you see that the bones and the sinews of a person, and the same would apply with oxen, are used as a schach, to cover over the intestines, and therefore, the back of an ox is considered an oihel according to Rabbi Yehuda. A bed, however, that's made primarily, is not made in order to sleep under, it's not considered an oihel. That would be one way of explaining the Mishnah. Ve'ibo isema, another explanation of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, is Rabbi Yehuda letameh, because Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, da'omar sukkah diras keva be'inon. There's a nature of fixture that's attributed to a sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda actually says that in certain areas, the sukkah must be have a permanent nature. And we discussed this already on Dav Zayin. V'havelei mito diras arai. The bed itself is considered a diras arai. It's temporary, certainly relative to sukkah that has to be fixed. Rashi in Daf Yud Aleph says that a bed is arai because it moves, it's not fixed. But either way over here, the Gemara is saying that the bed is not as there's no din, the bed has to be fixed, the sukkah has to be fixed, according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'sukkah oyel keva, v'lei osi oyel arai umevatil oyel kvar. In this explanation, a bed is called an oyel. Not like the first explanation, a bed's not called an oyel. No, we say a bed is called an oyel. However, since relative to sukkah, it's called a temporary type of oil versus the sukkah, which is a permanent one. The temporary sukkah, the temporary oil, the temporary nature of oil of the bed is not enough to undermine the permanent nature of oil of the sukkah. And since you with the bed are in the sukkah, it's considered that you're under the roofing of the sukkah, and it's not considered as if you're as if the roof, the temporary roofing of the bed, is in separating between you and the sukkah, and therefore it's kosher. Asks the Gemara, V'har Reb Shimon de'omar nami sukkah diras keva be'inon. We already saw in Dav Zayin that Reb Shimon, like Reb Yehuda, holds that a sukkah has to have a permanent nature on some level. We saw over there, Reb Shimon says, you need four walls to the sukkah, not like the Chachomim who say just three. V'osi oyel arai u'mevatel oyel kva. And why don't we, and according to Reb Shimon, it's very clear that the bed, that if you sleep underneath the bed, you're not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. Why not? Why don't you say that the oil arai is not mevatel the oil kva? It was Reb Shimon in the Mishnah that said over from Rabban Gamliel that sleeping under the bed, you're not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. Reb Shimon understood that from the casual talk of Rabban Gamliel. Why would that be true? Reb Shimon says sukkah is oil kva. The bed is an oil aray, loy osi oil aray, mevatel oil kvar. Answers the Gemara that b'hokam pligi. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing about. Marosovar osi oil aray, umevatel oil kvar. Rabbi Shimon holds that a temporary type of oil can actually undermine a permanent type of oil and is mevatel it. Or Marosovar, however, Rabbi Yehuda holds no, loy osi oil aray, mevatel oil kvar. Rabbi Yehuda holds a temporary oil will not be mevatel, a permanent one. Continues the Gemara, Omer Reb Shimon, Maisa Batovi Avdoi, the end of the Mishnah, Reb Shimon narrated a story with Reb Gamliel, who was casually discussing the virtues and the wisdom of his slave Tovi. Tani, we learnt in a Braisa, Omer Reb Shimon, Misichoisov Sherabin Gamliel. It doesn't say Midvarov Sherabin Gamliel. It says Misichoisov. From the casual conversation of Rabbi Gamliel, Lomadnu Shnei Dvarim, we learned two things. Lomadnu Sheavodim Pturim in Asuka. We learned that slaves are exempt from Sukkah. Vulamadnu Sheayoshon Tachas Asuka Loyotzoidei Chevosi. We also learned that sleeping under the Sukkah, you're not yotze the mitzvah of Sukkah. Because that was the wisdom of this slave, that he understood he was potter and therefore he went under the Sukkah. Asks the Gemara. That was still Braisa. The Gemara is asking, Vilema, why don't you say the midvorov shel Reb Shimon, from the words of Reb Shimon? Why do you say misichosov of Reb Shimon? Answers the Gemara, milse agav urchei kumashmeron. Because this is something which was learnt by the way. Ki ha da omer v'acha bar ada, v'omri lo omer v'acha bar ada omer av hamnuna, omer av, minayin sh'afilu sichas talmidei chachomim tzicha limud, sh'neema v'oleyu lo yiboil. How do we know that even the casual conversation of Talmidei Chachomim, it's worth focusing and concentrating to see what you can learn from it? It says in the Pasuk, V'oleyu, even the seemingly more trivial parts of the plant, which is the leaves, the lo yiboil, will not wither. There's something to be gained from it. So too, Talmidei Chachomim, everything they say, even if it's not with the intentions of teaching something, if you focus on what they're saying, and you can actually learn something from it. And that's what Reb Shimon was saying. Misichosof shel Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was not coming to teach us something. He was just telling the elders about the wisdom of his slave. But we were accustomed, that's as it says in the Mishnah, Lefi Darkeinu, we were accustomed to trying to understand what can be learned even from the casual conversation of Talmidei Chachomim. And when we heard Reb Shimon casually telling Reb Gamliel casually telling the Zkenim, the elders, about his slave, we said, what halachas can we learn here? We learned two halachas. We learned that slaves are potter from sukkah, and we learned that sleeping under the sukkah is potter. Continues the next Mishnah. Hasoymech sukosoy bekari amito, if somebody rests his schach on the posts of a bed, you have a whole bed adjacent to a sukkah, and on one of the posts, which is obviously at least 10 tefachim high, you actually rest the schach on the bedposts. Kshera, the Tanakhama say it's kosher. Why not? Beds can be made of anything. The walls can be made of anything, and as long as the schach is kosher, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Im eino yechoylo lamud bifnei atzma, if were you to move the bed away, the schach would fall down. Psula, it's posel. A schach that's supported by a bed is posel. We don't know why. We'll see in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, my Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda. What would be the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? Why should this sukkah be posel? Says the Gemara, pligi bar abzeirav Rav Abba bar Mamel. So machleikas chad omar, one of these two chachomim explained, mipnei she'ein lo keva. We saw before, Rabbi Yehuda holds, a sukkah has to have an element of permanence to it. Since this bed, we've already seen, a bed is not permanent, so the schach that is resting and being supported by something which is arai, which is very temporary, which is just moved around, it's not keva, it's not fixed. If it's not fixed, it's a pasul sukkah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'chad omar. The other explanation is, mipnei she'ma'amido b'dovar ha'mekabel tumah. Since a bed itself is a dovar ha'mekabel tumah, especially when it's a whole bed, it's mekabel tumah. And we know that to use something which is roi lekabel tumah as schach is certainly possible. Over here, since it's being entirely supported by something which is roi lekabel tumah, there's too much influence of something which is roi lekabel tumah on the schach, and therefore the Rabbi Yehuda says, you cannot use it, you cannot support your schach with dovah mekabel tumah. My binai, what would be the difference between these two explanations? Kegoin shenoatz shpudim shel barzel, if you took rods of metal and you stuck them into the ground and you put the schach on top of them, you supported the schach on top of them. V'sikich aleim, leman do'omar she'ein lo keva, if the explanation that says that the reason Rabbi Yehuda says that schach resting on the beds is no good is because it's not permanent. Hari yesh lo keva, over here it's permanent, it's stuck into the ground. But the opinion who says that the reason it was possible was because it's being supported by a dovar mekabel tumah. He's supporting a schach on these rods. These rods of metal are dovar mekabel tumah, and therefore it will be possible. Omar Abaya, lo yishonu, this whole machleikus here, whether if you support the schach on the end of a bed, it's kosher or not, is only elo somach, is when you're actually supporting the schach on the ends of the bed. Aval sikech al gav hamito, but if you put the schach, which is properly supported, a regular kosher schach, that's supported in the way it's supposed to be, that will not be an issue. Not for arai, and not for dovah mekabel tumah, kosher schach. And it happens to be that you're using beds as your walls, but they're not supporting the schach, and you just put the schach al gav hamito, In that case, Kshera, it's kosher even according to Rabbi Yehuda. My Tama, why would this be true? Lemando Omar Lefisha Ein Lo Keva, the opinion who explained the reason that when you support the schach on the end of the bed, it's posel is because it's not permanent enough. Hara Yesh Lo Keva. Over here we're talking about that the schach was permanently fixed. It's just that the walls were three beds that were surrounding the sukkah, and they were used as the walls, but the schach is permanent. The opinion that says that the reason it was posel is because it's being supported by a dovar mekabel tuma. Over here, the schach is not being supported by something which is roi lekabel tuma, and just because the walls are roi lekabel tuma, we never had an issue with walls. We only had an issue with schach and something which is supporting the schach. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.